Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in one time of trouble, in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies and around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of a good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when I was 10 years old, I slept during the worship service. And I believe that my father brought me to the nursery. I believe because I was sleeping, obviously, so I didn't see what happened. But suddenly, I woke up without knowing where I was and what was going on. The church building was silent and absolutely dark. The doors were locked. Then I had to scream until a person of good heart would hear my distress call. The church caretaker, who lived upstairs, he heard my clamor and came to help me. I'll tell you, I was up to cry, but he was laughing so much, saying, it's crazy that your parents left you sleeping in the church. Well, it was not fun, at least for me. My parents had forgotten me in the church. Come on. I remembered that I felt like an unimportant person. And my parents apologized later, but I still remember how disappointing it was for me to be left behind. So that situation was weird because my parents always were lovely and careful. How could it have happened to them? Even careful and lovely parents are able to forget their children. However, David wrote in this psalm that the Lord would never forget him. The Lord will never forget His people. As our light and our salvation, God will never forsake us. So let's see this more closely in this meditation today. Last Sunday we saw that we have no reason to fear our enemies because the Lord is our light and our salvation. We also learned that David desired the presence of the Lord and to minister at His sanctuary and to contemplate the beauty of God. And today we'll finish our meditation on this psalm by learning that the Lord never forsakes his people. We'll also learn that the Lord instructs his people. And finally, we'll hear the exhortation to wait on the Lord. First, the Lord never forsakes his people. We can see this very clearly in verses 7 through 10. These verses are part of David's prayer because he was under persecution. He was afflicted by his enemies who were surrounding him. Sorry. In verse 7, David opened his heart before the Lord. He said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." This is interesting because people under threat generally feel good when they can bear a gun. Because of the political uncertainties in the country and the coronavirus outbreak, 2020 was the year of the highest number of background checks for gun buyers. And the FBI conducted a record 39.7 million background checks for gun purchases in 2020. It's 40% surge over 2019's record total as Americans armed themselves for self-protection. However, David found himself secure, not behind a shield or sword, but bearing the weapons of his prayer. Prayer must accompany each stage of our daily life. It must be like our breathing. You breathe all the time. You wouldn't say, "I breathe in the morning." "Oh, my favorite time to breathe is before sleeping." This is ridiculous. We never say that. We breathe all the time. So we must pray all the time because prayer is the believer's breathing. So David was using the weapons of his prayer. After mentioning the items of God's armor in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17, Paul wrote, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." This is in verse 18. So we can feel secure too. It's interesting because we're in the midst of a war. And after talking about this spiritual warfare, and then Paul said, "Pray all the time for all the saints, at all ways, but pray, by all ways, but pray all the time." And then we can feel secure. We just have to deposit our petitions before the Lord in prayer. And in his prayer, David begged for God's mercy. And mercy is the hope of sinners and the refuge of the saints. Through his mercy, God has compassion on his servants. Through his tender mercies, God put his heart on miserable sinners like you and me. David also asked the Lord to answer his prayer, because when we pray, we wait for an answer to our petitions. However, this expectation is not a requirement as if we were lords. Like, "Lord, answer my prayers." We are not lords. We just expect as humble servants before the Almighty God. A believer's heart echoes God's will when he prays. And he knows that he is the Lord and we are not the lords. Absolutely. Following this, we read in verse 8, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" So David mentioned a moment when God spoke, "Seek my face." It can be specific communication of the Lord to him. However, it can also mean God's commandments concerning worship. Matthew Henry explained that the true nature of religious worship is it is seeking the face of God. He said this when writing a commentary on this psalm. Anyway, God's voice is extremely effective when other voices fail. And this is the point here. David promptly responded, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." And this answer is a godly resolution to make use of the means of grace to make God's grace, to make God's grace our chief goal. Do you make a regular use of the means of grace in order to pursue God's gracious gifts? Means of grace are instruments used by God to bless fallen people who seek His face. According to the Westminster Standards of Faith, the means of grace are the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. And the reason many people don't enjoy God's blessings is that they don't make regular use of prayer as means of grace. James demonstrates this through the following words. "Yet you do not have because you do not ask." James 4:2. You have nothing for one reason. You don't ask. It's so weird for believers because Jesus told us everything you ask, if my words dwell in you and if you dwell in my will, so everything you're going to ask, I will give. Jesus said. James refers to the lack of prayer. However, many people pray and ask wrong things. They pray, but they ask wrong things, so they have nothing as well. The result is the same. "You ask and do not receive," said James, "because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures," he said. So, brothers, let's pray, as Stephen Coots Chapman saying, let's pray everywhere, every way, every time. "The one who asks receives," said Jesus Christ. Then we reach verse 9. "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." Brothers and sisters, surely the scene of the Lord hiding his face represents great affliction for believers. Psalm 104, verse 29, makes this very clear. It says, "You hide your face, they are troubled." If the Lord hides his face from us, the commandment in verse 8, "Seek my face," would be impossible to be fulfilled. We would be totally prevented from worshiping him, praying and meditating in his word. We must pray, we must beg, "Oh Lord, don't turn your face from us." The Bible tells us how God forsook Saul and how this was the main reason for Saul's affliction. The Lord told Saul through Samuel, "Because you have rejected the words of the Lord, he also rejected you from being king." This is in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. And from then on, Saul was absolutely disturbed. And only the well-played harp of David could relieve Saul's affliction. So see how those who reject the word of the Lord and deliberately disobey his commandments are troubled. As they forsook the Lord will also forsake them. That is, the Lord will turn his countenance from them and pour out his righteous and holy wrath on them. And this is terrible. This is horrible. Nevertheless, the Lord will never forsake his people. Scripture teaches us that God will never abandon us. Never. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look. So God promised that he will never abandon his people. He'll never forsake us. Saul was abandoned by God because he was never a son of God. He was never a believer. God will never give up on loving his children. God will never give up on perfecting us. This is one of the reasons we must fear nothing. God won't forsake us because Jesus was forsaken once and for all when he suffered on the cross. His own Father forsake him because our sins were thrown on him, so that his righteousness was attributed to us when we believed. In other words, Jesus was forsaken on the cross so that we might not be forsaken by the Father today and in the future. So praise the Lord, for he will never forsake us. Then verse 10 gives us a strong assurance that God will never forsake us. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me, said David. There are some funny stories of parents that forgot one of their children somewhere. Obviously, this forgetfulness was unintentional. However, there are other very sad stories of an intentional abandonment of children by parents. It sounds the weirdest thing that could ever happen. But it is possible. That's why the prophet questions in Isaiah 49 verse 15. He questions, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? In other words, he said, can something as odd as a woman forgetting her nursing child happen? Can a loving mother have no compassion on her own son or daughter? It looks weird, but it is possible. I read some sad news of bad parents that left their children without care for many days while they were out. Their neighbors had to feed them, otherwise they would have perished by famine. A mother left her daughter sleeping in the car and went shopping. It was too hot that day. After 2 hours, her daughter was dead. It looks odd and weird, but something like this can happen. The history of God's people tells us of many servants of the Lord that were abandoned by their families. They were persecuted by their own progenitors when they believed in Jesus Christ. That's why Isaiah wrote the following words of the Lord, surely they may forget, that is, parents may forget their children, yet I will not forget you, says the Lord. Although even parents can abandon and persecute their own children, the Lord will never forget his beloved ones. He will love them forever. Even if the most impossible thing happens, such as the oceans to be completely drained, the Lord, however, will keep loving his people. Jesus will never abandon his church. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, he said. Jesus Christ is the Emmanuel. He is the God with us. It is not of his nature to abandon his beloved ones. So don't be afraid of being set aside by God. Don't be afraid of that. He will never do this. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John 10, 27 through 30. And Paul wrote, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, 38 through 39. These words may encourage you, brother. It may strengthen you, sister, to keep going. Press on. It's worth it. Each disappointment, each frustration, everything is worth it. Because we have a Lord, a powerful Savior that will never forsake us. But He will be always with us. Independently of what's going on in the world, He is the Lord. He's in charge and He will be with us. Second, the Lord instructs, verses 11 through 13. Verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." In this verse, David prays that the Lord wouldn't leave him in his own way. One of Frank Sinatra's greatest hits was a song where he said, "I did it my way." Yes? However, one of the utmost punishments a man can receive from God is to be led by his own ways. Romans 1:24 says that God gave the rebels up to uncleanness and vile passions. The result is the inevitable and horrible judgment of the Lord. Every time God gives people up to their own ways, the result is the tragic manifestation of His own judgment. This should be a reason for great concern today. We have seen uncleanness, sexual immorality, disrespect, hate, and corruption reaching levels too high that the holiness of the Lord wouldn't require judgment. So rejoice, rejoice if you have been confronted by the Word of God and not led to your own ways. If someone lives in disobedience to God's commandments deliberately and is not being exhorted to repent, danger is near. Probably God gave up this person to his own ways. The end will be tragedy, ruin, devastation. So repent before it's too late. Repent before it's too late. David then opens up his heart and to learn God's ways in a humble demonstration of readiness to obey the Lord. With an open mind to learn from God, he asks, "Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies." And brothers and sisters, sometimes even when we have a map to go somewhere, we need a guide to help us while we follow the map. And David begs for this. David begs for direction. And similarly, we must ask the Lord to lead us through a smooth path, meaning a way of holiness, honesty, and orientation from Scripture. The Bible reveals the safe way of the law of the Lord in opposition to lives comparable to winding roads full of potholes deformed by sin and evilness. David was surrounded by his enemies at some point of his life. That's why he begged for direction. We must remember that verse 2 tells us that David's enemies were about to eat up his flesh if they could. Similarly, our enemies today are those who look for an occasion to cancel our authority when we stumble. When a Christian fails, what is absolutely possible, they question, are you really a Christian? Then the enemy slanders that Christian and accuse him of incoherence or hatred, bigotry, and other things. Verse 12 confirms that this is possible. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Defamation, gossip, and slandering are ancient weapons from hell against the people of the Lord. It's an old weapon, but extremely effective. Slandering destroys someone's reputation because people are naturally judgmental. Many don't require due process but condemn even the godliest person without facts or evidence, only a dirty and filthy declaration that came out from an evil heart. Verse 13 has a dilemma. It says, I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The problem in this verse is that the first sentence, I would have lost heart, is not present in the oldest manuscripts. That's why if we compare with other versions, we're going to see a difference here. These oldest manuscripts have a declaration of faith instead. They say, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Thus, this dilemma can be solved when we think that either way, both possibilities have a declaration of faith. So, it doesn't matter if we have the original, I would have lost heart, or I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It doesn't matter. Both are a declaration of faith, a statement of faith. Faith always protects us from being dismayed in the midst of our struggles in this life. Faith is our powerful shield that keeps us unharmed, even under the attacks of our enemy with his fears of doubt and temptation. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. So faith connects our life on earth with the spiritual dimension of God's providence. Faith is means by which God accomplishes His redemptive work in us. It's through faith we have been saved, says the Bible. Faith encourages us to keep going, although we are surrounded by enemies and trials. Though David was surrounded by those who wanted to eat up his flesh, if possible, his trust was on the Lord. So David was always feeding his mind with the Word of God, and that's why he was always feeding his faith. It's interesting because one day the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, increase our faith. And then Jesus Christ said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you can move a mountain. You can say to this mountain, go and be thrown into the sea, and it's going to happen, Jesus said. The point is, we always have a small amount of faith, but we must deposit our faith in Jesus Christ. If you do that, having a faith of the size of a grain of mustard, we must move mountains. But if we have a huge belief in something else but Jesus, we wouldn't move even a grain of mustard. So this way, if you keep your faith in Jesus, then your faith will be fed up. And we must feed our hearts with the memory of the Word of God, of His works. Sometimes David was so sad, and then he remembered the glory of the works of the Lord in the past. The way Israel was crossing Red Sea at dry feet. So the Lord is great. We must remember the miracles Jesus performed. We must remember how the church of Jesus Christ was spread out everywhere. And how God's amazing works was accompanying them. When we remember those amazing facts of the past, we feed our faith, and then we can see that our faith is increasing. It's being deposited on the Lord. So do this. David had a firm and strong hope that he would enjoy the Lord's answer to his petition to dwell in the house of the Lord here in this world. That's why he says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. According to other passages, such as Isaiah 38:11, Isaiah 53:8, and Jeremiah 11:19, the land of the living is the earth, in contrast with the land of the dead, the Sheol or the tomb. The living would be comparable to the public in an arena or theater that watches the unfolding of a happy end story. By faith, we can look forward to see the invisible hand of God providing His people with comfort, with joy and victory, even in this world full of wicked people. And finally, number 3, wait on the Lord. This is the exhortation in verse 14. The last verse of this psalm is a final exhortation to God's people when they face frustration and opposition. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, verse 14 says. Wait for the Lord. This is a command to look to God with trust and obedience. Obviously with our eyes of faith. Those who believe that they will see the goodness of the Lord manifested by His gracious answer to their prayer, they wait actively in the kingdom. They don't wait with passivity. They trust and obey while they wait for the Lord's final answer. This exhortation could have been addressed in 3 different ways. First, it could have been addressed to David's friends who were hearing the words of this psalm amidst of trials. It could also have been David speaking to himself, as well as the psalmist spoke to himself in Psalm 42:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Look, he's speaking to himself. And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. In this case, David could be strengthening his firm resolution. But finally, it could have been God's immediate answer to David's prayer. Could have been God saying to him, okay, I'm answering your prayer right now. So wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. In any case, the supplicant has no other solution than the certainty that waiting for the Lord is worth it. This is the main point. Anyway. So, brothers and sisters, keep yourselves close to God. Keep carrying your duties out. Wait on the Lord by faith and prayer and a humble resignation to His will. Listen to Dave's words. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So David was being very emphatic here. In his commentary, Matthew Henry exhorted, whatever you do, grow not remiss in your attendance upon God. Keep up your spirits in the midst of the greatest dangers and difficulties. Be of good courage. Let your hearts be fixed, trusting in God, and your mind stayed upon Him. And then let none of these things move you. Those that weigh upon the Lord, brothers and sisters, they have reason to be of good courage. The Lord will never forsake them. He will always be with us. He will never abandon us. The Lord be praised. Amen.